yesterday were talking about how, you know what, he probably, when he comes back, he should be a designated hitter rather than play third base because he looks like he can't move at all.
Rodriguez was scheduled to make his first appearance tonight.
Hurry to Subway for the new $4 lunch. Choose from tons of fully loaded 6-inch subs, like the Black Forest Ham or Meatball Marinara, all with the fresh veggies you love, plus a 21-ounce fountain drink, all for just $4 all day, every day. Subway, eat fresh.
And now, another great hit from Flo. Discounts from Progressive are good.
Why is a strike bad in baseball if it's good in bowling? And then someone told me about a basketball strike. That sounds bad, but I'm not quite sure. But I think we all can agree it's good to get discounts from Progressive.
Progressive offers lots of discounts to help you save. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Discounts not available in all states.
Head into the Home Depot for big savings on simple updates, like this small project. Organize your work area with an HDX 27-gallon tote. At a new lower price of just $9.97 each, this is one durable and low-cost way to get a handle on your tools and gear. One of many ways to make a big difference for less during the Small Projects Big Values event going on now. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. U.S. only. See store for.
This is Central Nebraska's most listened to all sports radio station.
We always parade winners around here.
From 1460 KXPN and 1550 KICS, you're listening to Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
For any of you who have listened in the past, you know that I am not a radio-trained personality, so we are just going by the seat of our pants.
It's time for the Tri-Cities' number one sports show. You're listening to the Doug and Daddy Show.
Victoria and Zaretska, you know, these Russians, they need to buy a vowel. Let me just say that. They need to buy a vowel with that first name.
Now coming to you live from the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Need a vehicle? ThinkMidway.com.
No. I don't think that. It's minor. It's just a minor sin. It's a minor one.
Well, I'm coming to you then for some of the major ones.
It's time for the Doug and Daddy Show.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Doug and Daddy Show here on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Doug, good to Jim Langan with you on this Monday as we're getting closer to head to Chicago for a Big Ten Media Days on Wednesday and Thursday. No surprise, Ohio State is the league favorite, and Michigan just edging Nebraska in the Legends Division in a poll of some of the sports writers that cover the Big Ten on a solid basis. Big Ten doesn't put out a media poll or a coaches poll like just about every other conference does. As we told you last week, the Big 12 picked Oklahoma State, Alabama, obviously, in the SEC. But the Big Ten doesn't do that. And so what do? They have one of the normal folks, one of the beat writers, just says, okay, I'll send out the ballots and we'll see what we get here. So that's what's going on with that. We'll get to all that in a little bit. Tom Mulhern of the Wisconsin State Journal will join us at the bottom of the hour for our 12 teams in 12 days. They will be team number 11 today. We'll talk about Wisconsin. We'll talk about their new football coach. We'll talk about really how much the team will look like it has when it's won the last three Big Ten championships, and probably even bring up what happened in that Big Ten championship game last year and how different the two teams in Nebraska and Wisconsin are today than the ones that played back in December. We'll also be hearing from UNK Chancellor Doug Christensen later on in the program. The four finalists have been named for the athletic director position. The first of those is on campus today, and Dr. Rick Gobe, who had been at Bemidji State for the last 12 years. Before that, he was at Alaska Fairbanks and has been a variety of places, and they're hoping to have all four of those finalists on campus at some time, and Dr. Rick Gobe the first today. Plus, coming up here in just a little bit, we're going to talk with former Holdridge basketball coach Trent Benjamin. He is one of the coaches in tonight's Nebraska Coaches Association All-Star Basketball Games, which are going on at Lincoln North Star. And the girls will play at 6, the boys will play at 8, And we'll talk about that volleyball tomorrow and then softball coming up on Wednesday. But a lot going on in the world, the British Open. We've got a lot of baseball, not only from the area tournaments, but Jimmy, the Kearney Little Leaguers do it again. They're headed back to Indianapolis, and they're starting to become a little bit of a dynasty now here in the state.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, they, you know, a lot of schools do not play that in Nebraska.
Right.
You know, but Kearney does seem to dominate. And then when they go on, you know, they seem to do well in other areas, too, in the United States, where they people do go after it pretty hard.
And for the most part, again, this is basically a whole new set of kids. This is the same organization that made it to the Little League World Series in Williamsport last year. And I think from what I'm told, maybe just a couple of kids, because let's face it. If you're 12, you're on the team, you got to be pretty special to be an 11-year-old and make it on that team. And so I think there's just a couple of kids that went to a Williamsport that are on the team this year. But the state tournament was in Blair. They beat Keystone from Omaha, went undefeated over the weekend, and now it's back to Indianapolis and pool play, which for them will start on August the 2nd.
Right, and I think that team from South Dakota is always the team they seem to play, and I don't know if that team qualified or not. I didn't look that up, but it seemed like it's that same team from South Dakota and Kearney, Nebraska that really seemed to have some success in that tournament.
Well, one thing I can tell you about this, and I've got to do a little bit more research here, but you knew that you don't play everybody in pool play, and it looks like now they're going to they play four games. And they don't play the North Dakota / South Dakota champion unless they get into that semifinal and final round. So you play pool play. There's six teams. Four teams advance on to the single elimination tournament. And then whoever comes out of that heads off to Williamsport. So they play Iowa, Kansas, Missouri, and Minnesota. And then the North South Dakota winner is the other team there. But they don't have them in pool play. They'll play Missouri first at 1 o'clock. On August the 2nd, and I've got to double check. I think that'd be Eastern time, so it's probably noon Central. And then the second game on the 3rd of August, they play Kansas. On the 4th of August, they play Iowa. And then on the 5th of August, they play Minnesota. And then it's into the semifinals and finals if they qualify.
Yeah, you know, it's in the Little League baseball, almost. It's kind of amazing that those kids play maybe more baseball than our seniors, you know, as far as the games. And at least, I don't know if they play as many games, but they definitely, their season is longer. You know, they're going to go from May all the way to when school starts, yeah.
Yeah, what was it, 21 days they were gone last year, I believe, because if you win in Indianapolis, you just go straight on to Williamsport and get ready. So best of luck, and we'll talk more about that next week as they get ready to depart. But again, this week's going to be very busy with Legion Baseball and, of course, with the Big Ten Media Days that's going to be going on in Chicago, and we will talk more about that. We want to let you know about our Midtown Mark Cooler question today, though. Over the weekend, which team outside of Nebraska is your favorite to win the Legends Division? 46% took Michigan, 38% took Michigan State, 15% took Northwestern. Let's go to the other side. Other than Ohio State, who's your favorite in the Leaders Division? Illinois, Indiana, Penn State, Purdue, or Wisconsin? You can vote on the Midtown Mark Cooler question anytime at ESPNSuperstation.com, ESPNSuperstation.com. And Jimmy, as I look at this that came out today from the Cleveland Plain Dealers, Doug Lesmeris, I'm sure I'm butchering that name, but 26 conference writers, including Brian Bennett and the Big Ten bloggers, Adam Rittenberg. Everybody picked Ohio State to win the Leaders Division. 14-14 for Michigan State and Nebraska in the Legends Division. 25 of the 26 picked Ohio State to win the Big Ten title. One person, and they don't say who, picked Michigan to win the Big Ten championship.
And you know what? I'm just going to go right out here and say I like Nebraska. You know, I mean, you know, that can't be a controversial pick today, can it? I mean, just to say, hey, I'm taking Nebraska. Hey, I like the way our schedule's set up for us. And it looks like Ohio State got in a little trouble. If you watch ESPN, a couple of their players got suspended maybe, and they may not have their full deck going.
Always some trouble, and you hate to see that right before things take you to media day, because now that'll be front and center. That'll be the story. That'll be everything that's going on. But, yeah, apparently, and I just kind of saw this here, running back Carlos Hyde had a little bit of problems.
Yeah, and I think he was a 1,000-yard rusher, so it's not like he was just somebody on their football team. I mean, this guy had 1,000 yards rushing.
couple other things, just back to this poll here a little bit, as you look at what these writers picked, well, it's exactly what Phil Steele picked in his preseason publication. After Ohio State, the voters went with Wisconsin, Penn State, Indiana, Purdue, and Illinois, and that is just exactly as Phil Steele had it. On the other side, it was Michigan just edging out Nebraska by 3 points, 135.5 to 132.5. Michigan State, they had picked third, then Northwestern, Iowa, and Minnesota, just like Phil Steele had. The only difference between that is Phil Steele's not as high on Michigan. He had Nebraska and Michigan State co-favorites in the Legends division. So we'll see how that all plays out. It's that time. It's that excitement and a lot of questions. Hopefully a few answers this Wednesday and Thursday in Chicago.
Yeah, it's possible, you know, with Nebraska getting a one loss, you know, can still win that thing. Just depends on, you know, with Michigan State, if they, you know, if they can beat them head to head. I think that Nebraska Michigan State game, very important in Nebraska to win that game, just to get that head to head advantage in case you get a couple teams that end up tying for it.
888-455-ESPN, 888-455-3776. You can email us anytime to the Dent Popper inbox, Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. You can always tweet us or Facebook us. The tweet is at ESPN 1460 1550, at ESPN 1460 1550. And of course, you can post on Facebook at ESPN Superstation. And you'll find us, find out what's going on with our show, with our guests, and everything else that goes on a daily basis.
Doug, I got a question for you. I did not get to see the British Open, the final. I got to see most of it.
Get your ass out of bed. Come on!
All right. But anyway, to make a long story short here, you know, I was watching the other players play and saw how the course was playing. Now, did Phil Mickelson, he shot a 66, did he play all 18 holes?
Yeah.
I mean, or did he play 16 holes and just walk off and get 66? Because I think 66 strokes, you know, I could shoot a 66, but I have to quit somewhere. I don't know if it's going to be the 11th hole, the 12th hole, but right in there is going to be my 66 strokes.
It'd be way earlier than the 16th hole for me. It's way earlier than the 16th hole.
You know, what an outstanding round, really. You know, I just am amazed when I watch that British Open, and I just cannot. You know, watching that ball just roll forever. I mean, you're 20 yards away, and you hit a little like a 7-iron pitch that you just kind of pop it over, and you're going to get it to kind of roll, go right by the hole. Well, it just doesn't only go just by the hole 4 feet. It goes 5 feet, and then it looks like maybe it's going to stop at six, and then all of a sudden it goes off the green by some sand traps into the rough. And now you had a 20-footer, and now you've got like a 70-footer. You know, and these are professionals.
Yeah, just like everybody's talking about Phil's round and the two great shots on 17. I mean, he wasn't even they weren't even talking about Phil until the 13th hole yesterday. That's how quickly he shot up that leaderboard. It's the save at 16, and you could pick up a little bit of the audio yesterday, the par 3, where he's saying, I just hit a perfect 6-iron, and it hits on top of that little knoll, and then it rolls back some 40 yards into the fairway, and he chips it to 7 feet and makes the par-saving putt. I mean, he bogeys that even if he gets the birdie on 17, then he kind of maybe needs a birdie on 18, which makes you play it a whole lot different. So I think that putt he made on 16 was the key shot yesterday in the round. But it's amazing to me, Jimmy, as you watch some of these majors especially, the guy in the lead isn't winning anymore. And usually in the majors, if you have the lead and can just go out and post par, just go back and look if the leader would have posted par, how many times they would have won. And that was the case yesterday. Lee Westwood would have gotten a playoff if he could have maintained shooting par on his round, which he couldn't do.
You know, somebody, one of our professional radio people, not me, made some comments about Tiger Woods that, you know, he'd get a big lead. And then he would just on Sunday make sure he got pars.
Yeah.
And make somebody do something dramatic to try to beat him. But he could play defense, you know, and kind of like in soccer where you get that 2-0 lead in soccer, you're done scoring. You're just going to come back here. And, you know, he just kind of guarded it. And that's how he won a lot of his tournaments. He really did not come from behind and shoot an amazing round. He just had the big lead and then found a way to hold on and continue and keep that lead. And you're right about Mickelson is that he came, I mean, that 66 was just amazing. You know, are you talking about one of the better rounds of golf? I mean, and especially on that course that day, this wasn't a 66 when other guys are shooting 69 and 70s.
Yeah.
You know, they're shooting 75s and 76s, you know.
Doug and Danny Show, Doug Duda, Jim Langan, joined now by former Holdridge girls basketball coach Trent Benjamin, who has one bit of coaching left on his resume for this stint, and that is to be part of the Nebraska Coaches Association All-Star Games tonight at Lincoln North Star. He'll be coaching the red team and the girls at 6. The boys will play at 8. Trent, great to catch up with you again. How's it going?
Good, gentlemen. It's a pleasure.
Well, great to catch up with you. Is there any nostalgia around Trent Benjamin today with the whistle on for one final practice?
Well, no nostalgia, but it was fun. I tell you what, the kids have been incredible all week. They're amazing players, and it's just been a lot of fun.
Hey, Trent, congratulations for going. Well-deserved. You did a great job over your career at Holdridge. Your teams were always competitive, and you always got a lot of mileage out of your team. So congratulations to you.
Hey, thanks, Jim. I appreciate that.
Well, you've went through your practices now. How do you like the makeup of your team?
Well, good. We are a real guard-heavy team. I think you'll see us shoot. Try to really get up-tempo, up and down the floor. And I think you'll see us shoot quite a few threes, too. We're going to try to get the lane. We try to get a lot of three-pointers. And we have some really nice shooters. So the other team is a little bit bigger in size. I imagine they're going to want to slow it down and try to pound us down in the post a little bit. But that makes for a fun chess game tonight as well.
Hey, Coach, I've ref quite a few of the girls in this tournament on both sides. And the bomb girl from Kearney Catholic, I'm going to tell you something right now. She can run the floor. I mean, if you got a fast break, you got anything going, hey, she's 6'1". You take her off, and I'll tell you what, she'll get to the other end in a hurry.
Yeah, she is a great player, and what a great kid as well. And, you know, it's just fun to see. These kids are athletes. But what I've been more impressed with is how great a people they are. I mean, they are humble. They've got a lot. These kids have accomplished so much in their careers, but yet they were very team-oriented, and they're not ones to brag about anything. They're just exciting kids to be around.
Talking with Trent Benjamin here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Doug Duda, Jim Langan with you on this Monday. The Nebraska Coaches Association All-Star Game is tonight. Who on your team had you not seen Trent really play in person that has opened your eyes because there's so many good girls on this squad?
Yeah, well, you know, the Valentine, Allie Millard from Valentine, I hadn't seen her play, and she's nice, you know. And when you get up there in that north and western part of the state, you maybe don't get noticed as much. And I think she's going to be a very nice college player. And then the Class A kids, we don't see them as much, especially the Metro kids. And I'll tell you what, Alex Nelson from Papio is going to be a heck of a player. She gets after it. She runs the floor, and she's also 6 foot, and I mean legit 6 foot. So I see her having a great college career as well.
You mentioned you thought that the red-blue team would want to slow it down, use their height a little bit. They've got some pretty solid basketball players, obviously, on that other side. And even some of your height, like Zajina from Seward, she's not necessarily a post player. She can come out there and bang some threes for you as well. What will be your strategy? But I know you touched on trying to get it up and down the floor. Sometimes that's easier said than done. What do you do early on in this game to kind of set that tempo?
Well, you know, the thing is, when we kind of pick these teams, you got to kind of think how you're going to go about it. And my thought was, I sometimes feel sorry for posts in All-Star games because those guards won't even give up the ball and they shoot it before they get a chance to have it. So I just thought, we're going to go to something where we can do more five-out stuff and dribble penetrate. And those type of hybrid players like Zajina and Baum and Nelson, where they're 6'1", 6'2", but they like to shoot it as well. I just thought that gave them an opportunity to maybe get some shots. I want to see everybody get shots. So you're not going to see us run Jim Weeks 10-12 pass, then finally get a shot. You're going to see us try to get the ball down, couple passes, and let's get up a shot and crash the boards. And the other thing is we need to kind of jump out to a lead early. If we can get a lead early, then we kind of dictate the game. But if they get up on us 10-0, we're going to have to work, because I know they're going to bring the ball up and work an offense and try to pound the post down low, because they've got some strong girls.
Hey, Coach, I ref this game, the boys' game, about 20 years ago, and I think there were some special rules. Do you still have to play man-to-man defense, and do you play like six players the first quarter, six players the second quarter? Go ahead and tell our listeners a little bit about that.
Yeah, there is very specific rules. Now, we had a couple kids back out at the end, so we only have 11 players on each team. And so instead of we're playing 10-minute quarters, and typically what you're supposed to do is you play six kids the first quarter, six kids the next quarter. But what we're going to do is we're going to have five and five with a swing person that will play 5 minutes with each group as well. So every kid's going to essentially get, just a shade under 10 minutes, you know. So it's a great chance for everybody to get a play. Then as far as out of bounds goes, there's nothing on the baseline. Anytime the ball goes out, it's going to be on the side and no farther in than the free throw line. Man-to-man all through the game. The second half, you can go full court and run some full court trapping until the half court. But I see most of the coaches just going man-to-man and letting these kids show off their skills and enjoying one another. That's the other thing. These kids build a ton of friendships at this thing, and it's neat to see them who have, you know, beat on each other. Some of these kids, they didn't necessarily like each other through high school because they were competing so hard. Now as they transition into becoming friends and some even teammates at college.
Another minute here with Trent Benjamin on the Doug and Daddy Show. And again, for the folks that don't know, once the list of players that are eligible and have accepted are put on the table, the coaches get together, and basically it's a draft, and that sometimes will allow you to have the same school have players on each team, which Seward does. But I see that you went and got the arch nemesis, Beatrice, and got both of their players. Talk about that move.
Well, I'll tell you what, when you get tired of getting beat on by these teams, those Beatrice kids, you know, if you can't beat them, join them. So I grabbed two of them, and they're just great kids. Wow, Coach Luke has two special kids. And I also, you know, Seward's kind of been our nemesis at times, too. And so I grabbed the Zagina girl. And so I think we've had some fun talk and banter back and forth, because we've had quite a few exciting games with them through the years. Like I said, it's fun for me to see these kids in a different eye as well. And, you know, the other thing is, it's been kind of neat, too, is my son has been a student manager for me the last 6 years, and he's getting to be a student manager here. And so that's kind of been neat for me as well.
It's a good end right there.
That's good. Hey, Trent, I'll tell you what. Could you tell your son to kind of tell you a little bit? These referees are going to do as good as they can. Could you tell your son to just back up? Tell you to back up. He's in charge of you, and just have him come up to you. Hey, Dad, it's an all-star game. Just enjoy it. Don't yell at these guys or these women.
Yeah, I'll see what I can do. I always thought I was pretty quiet on those officials. You know?
Yeah, I thought you were really good when you had the lead. When you were behind, I thought you kind of made, or maybe it was you were yelling at the players, and I just thought you were yelling at me.
No, hey, Jim, win or lose, we always knew we had great officials when you were in there. So
Lord.
Being a fat guy, I was probably just yelling for popcorn.
There you go.
Well, let me get you out of here with this, Trent. How many of those bunkers you think you could have got out of at the British Open this week?
Oof. Maybe got out, but I would have taken a lot of sand with it, because I'd have been digging holes.
Man.
I didn't get to watch a lot of that, but it sounds like that final round is one that'll get talked about for quite a while.
Could put up a number, I believe, even with your skills, my man. But, hey, we'll be watching tonight. Looking forward to a great game and seeing you on the bench one more time. Trent, as always, thanks for the time on the Doug and Daddy Show. Good luck tonight.
Hey, thanks. Great to talk to you guys. You
take care, Trent. Bye.
Trent Benjamin, former Holdridge coach, stepped down at the end of this last season to go into a private business, and he gets one more shot here at the Coaches Association All-Star Game. Girls at 6, the boys at 8 o'clock tonight. Michaela Shaw, Sandy Creek, Mackenzie Scupa of Silver Lake, Kelsey Weimers of Kearney are on the blue team. Theron Baum is on Coach Benjamin's team on the red. Jason Boyd of Kearney is also a coach with Linda Walker of Wahoo, who, of course, is Linda Schnitzler, who everybody knows the Schnitzlers. And so Linda there and Mark Madison of Fillmore Central will be the assistant with Coach Benjamin on the red team. So there you go. Also in the boys game, you've got just a couple of kids from the area that are playing tonight in a Rath from Sutton and Alex Larson from Grand Island Northwest. Need to take a break here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Our 12 teams in 12 days gets us to Wisconsin with Tom Mulhern of the Wisconsin State Journal. Stay with us.
Lose 30 pounds in only 3 weeks? Really? If you're frustrated with outrageous weight loss promises, Complete Nutrition is about to change that. Try Refirm, the first ever and only weight loss product on the market that actually shrinks fat cells.
This is Dr. Lisa Stout. I'm excited to tell you about the breakthrough weight loss product from Complete Nutrition called Refirm. Refirm does something you've never experienced. It actually shrinks fat cells, and that means losing weight and fitting into your clothes faster.
Refirm revs up energy and metabolism, but also shrinks fat cells. Hurry into your neighborhood Complete Nutrition store while supplies last. Please note, if you lose more than 10 pounds in 10 days, visit your Complete Nutrition store to adjust your plan.
Find Complete Nutrition in Grand Island just north of Gordman's off Highway 281 and in Kearney just north of Sun Mart on 2nd Avenue.
You're in your car, and that annoying check engine light comes on. You're tempted to call its bluff, tape over it, and wait it out. But you know there's a better way. AutoZone. They'll help you find what the problem is for free. They sell tape there, too. But you won't be needing it.
When your check engine light comes on, get to AutoZone. We'll read your trouble code for free and help you fix it right the first time. Or we can recommend a professional mechanic with our shop referral program. Get in the zone. AutoZone. See store for restrictions and details.
It's a new day for smokers. Now you don't have to leave your desk, house, or the bar to take a smoke break. Because finally, smokers have a real alternative. Introducing the Enjoy King, the first premium electronic cigarette with the look, feel, and flavor of the real thing. Without the cigarette's smoke, ash, or smell, smokers, today is the day. Enjoy King electronic cigarettes. Cigarettes you've met your match. Available at participating 7-Eleven, Walgreens, and other fine retailers nationwide. Not for sale to minors. Contains nicotine, which...
I'm done with you. Let's get somebody who asks a question that's worth answering.
We're sending the Doug and Daddy Show east to Chicago, July 24th and 25th for Big Ten Media Days. How will Bo Pelini and his crew size up their third year in the Big Ten?
Trust me when I tell you, the Big Ten's a physical conference, but it's not like we've never played physical football before.
We'll have exclusive interviews with the Big Ten head coaches and the conference's best athletes. Keep it tuned to ESPN Radio, 1460 and 1550 AM.
Scattered showers and thunderstorms today with some breaks of sunshine possible at times. Highs in the mid to low 90s. Tonight, a few showers and storms linger early on, then becoming mostly clear as we head back to a low of 71. Right now, 84.
But I believe the world is burning to the ground. Oh, well, I guess we're going to find out. Let's see how far we go.
Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Getting you ready for the noon hour. And Monday, Thursday, Sunday, doesn't matter. They're open 7 days a week for lunch, evening meal, or just to sit back and enjoy a cool beverage during happy hour at the Chicken Coop in Kearney and Grand Island. Every Monday, their lunch special is a steak sandwich with your choice of side on it for just $6.99. Happy hour from 2 to 5:30. And then on Monday night, the special in Kearney, bull fries and fries for only $5.99. It is their special every Monday night. As you sit back and watch your favorite sporting events, maybe play a little Keno, there's not a bad seat in the house to enjoy some great sports at the Chicken Coop, Kearney and Grand Island. Maybe try out their tangy Southwest chicken wrap or the melt-in-your-mouth Southwest steak wrap for a little lighter lunch today at the Chicken Coop in Kearney and Grand Island.
It's that time, 12 teams in 12 days, leading you up to Big Ten Media Days, July 24th and 25th in Chicago. We'll preview a different team each day. We'll head to the Leaders Division for today's team.
Wisconsin.
The Badgers.
It's time for 12 Teams in 12 Days now on the Doug and Daddy Show.
And it's a pleasure to welcome back to the Doug and Daddy Show from the Wisconsin State Journal, Tom Mulhern joining us, Doug Duda and Jim Langan on ESPN Radio. Tom, great to catch up with you again. Are your bags packed?
Yes, well, I'm a last-minute packer, but I'm getting ready. We'll be heading out tomorrow.
So will we. Looking forward to some stories, and Ohio State now all of a sudden has given us a little bit of a story here today. But also the unofficial preseason prognostications, since the Big Ten doesn't do it, you're very intelligent sports writers obviously do. And I guess no surprises, Ohio State's the overwhelming favorite with Wisconsin right behind them. And then Michigan and Nebraska 1-2 in the Legends Division. Before we jump into Wisconsin, you guys are the three-time defending conference champions. What is going to be the only other team that can give Ohio State any kind of a move this year?
Well, I think Wisconsin's got some questions to answer. I think they can be there, but they got three big areas of concern to me. The offensive line depth being one, the secondary being a big one, maybe the biggest one overall. And then the quarterback, who emerges from that. They got to get improved quarterback play from last year. But Brett Bielema, the departed coach, has said for almost 2 years now that he expected the 2013 team to be his strongest. Now he's gone, of course, but it's a pretty strong senior class with a lot of senior starters. So I do think there's talent here.
Yeah, and I looked at your schedule. It seems to me September is going to be real critical to you. You go at Arizona State, and you've got at Ohio State. Also, another question for you, too, as I looked at your schedule, Wisconsin came very close to running the table. I mean, they had three overtime losses there late in the season. So go ahead and talk about anything you want to on those things.
Yeah, I think the Arizona State game will be crucial. I think it's going to be a good test early. I think that's going to be a good Arizona State team. Obviously, their first two non-conference games aren't very exciting, so I do think that Arizona State will be a good game. And then, Wisconsin's had a lot of trouble with Ohio State in recent years, and Brett Bielema couldn't get it done, and we'll see if his successor, Bielema won once, but we'll see if how Gary Anderson fares. And, of course, the big story there is that, Anderson coached with Urban Meyer at Utah, so there'll be a lot to write about for that game for sure.
Tom Mulhern joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show, Wisconsin State Journal. Let's talk about Gary Anderson, your initial impressions of the coach, and how different Wisconsin will look just because of his philosophy.
First off, really impressed, like everybody has been. I don't know anybody who has met him who hasn't walked away totally won over by his personality, and that includes the players. He's really made an effort to bond to the players since he's been here, and I think every coach says that. But I think he's followed that up in a lot of ways to make it happen, and I think it has happened. I think these players love him. They love the direction he's going. He goes the extra mile to communicate with the players, to care about them, to call them on their phones and ask how they're doing. And so I think that process has been, really good. And then as far as the changes, he's said all the right things so far. And about, wanting to maintain the things that have made Wisconsin successful here in the past. And that starts with a power running game, as everybody knows, and a good offensive line. And, yeah, he's committed to that. But at the same time, he's spoken his vision on offense includes a dual threat quarterback. And that's where he wants to take this team eventually. And, we'll see. He's got to have somebody to fill that role before he can do it. And we'll see if the junior college transfer Tanner McAvoy is ready to be that guy. If they go with somebody like Kurt Phillips or Joel Stave, I don't think they're going to change a whole lot on offense. But if McAvoy wins the job in camp, then we could see a much different offense than people have come to expect at Wisconsin.
Tom, who do you think will win the job?
But I have honestly no idea until we see McAvoy up close. The guy's only played 2 years of quarterback. He didn't become a quarterback until his senior year of high school. Went to South Carolina, sat on the bench for a year, then transferred to a JUCO in Arizona and put up some pretty good numbers, but he's extremely raw. He's 6'6", he's an athlete, and he can do the kind of things that Gary Anderson's likes. And, so we'll see if he's ready. Obviously Stave in the spring, to me, the offense, I seem to run best when Stave was at quarterback. He's certainly the best pocket passer. But, you know, he doesn't really have much mobility, and that's something that Anderson definitely wants. And then Kurt Phillips has all the intangibles, leadership off the charts. Everybody on that team respects him and what he did last year, so I don't think you can count him out. And I think he'll run a little better than he did last year. He came in as a runner, three ACL surgeries on one knee. Later is not the runner he used to be, but I think he'll be better than he was a year ago health-wise. With a full, finally healthy offseason, the first he's had in a while.
You know, the special teams probably didn't have a whole lot to do with the Nebraska game that ended the season. Or about you did get down to a missed field goal, but
they just kicked a lot of
extra points. Yeah, I was going to say though that last year, I don't know if people realize how close Wisconsin came to having like a 10-win season, because you just missed a couple field goals that in overtime or would have won games in regulation, and then you ended up losing them all.
Yeah, but, you know, they have six losses, and most of them were, you know, one-score games, and several of those included kicking issues. And, you know, they've got two kickers. Kyle French is a returning starter, and Jack Russell is a walk-on true freshman who just wasn't quite ready last year, and I know he's worked hard in the offseason, working with Taylor Melhoff, who's a former Wisconsin kicker. He's certainly got the leg strength, Russell does, so we'll see if he's got the part figured out between the ears. So, but a strong kicking game would have made a huge difference last year, no doubt about it. And they were right there in all those games, and that's something that's going to be a focus this year, I'm sure, is finishing.
Yeah, seven games, 5 points or less, win or lose, three of those in overtime, which were all losses. And Tom Mulhern with us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Again, as you said, they really like this football team. It seems like maybe the one or the biggest area of concern is going to be in that defensive backfield.
Yeah, it really is. Their two corners are both former nickel guys, so they've played, but they've never really been starters. So we'll see how that happens. But the big issue is at safety, and they've had a couple of hits in the offseason at the safety position. They had a guy from Pittsburgh, Reggie Mitchell, a high school prep quarterback who they liked a lot, thought he was projected to be the starting free safety. Well, he asked for his release from a scholarship, got homesick, and all accounts are is he's going to be wind up at Pittsburgh and play there. So that left a hole. And then they had a junior college guy, Donnell Vircher, who couldn't get into school, and he was a guy that they expected to get some help out of immediately as well. So they've moved some running backs. Jeff Lewis is one of them to look at safety, and they're going to have to come up with some answers pretty quickly there. At least they got Desmond Southward. He's the only returning starter in the secondary, and if people in the Big Ten don't know much about this guy, he was a basketball player growing up most of his life until his final year of high school. Extremely athletic, but raw when he got to Wisconsin. He's really come a long way, and now it's his secondary, and I think he's going to really have a big year, especially the way they're going to use him in this defense. And people can talk about the changes on offense, but the biggest change that you're going to see in Wisconsin this year is in that 3-4 defense, and I think they need a playmaker at safety, and they do have one in Southward, so I think that at least is a starting point.
Tom, do you believe, and again, just looking at the schedule and as good as Wisconsin has been, do you believe they've got the talent to go 11-1?
Right now I would say no, just based on the questions I mentioned before. You know, that's pretty lofty to throw that out. You know, I think they're going to be in that 9-10 win range, and then if some things fall favorably, then maybe they can get there. So I don't think they're that far away. But I need to see some answers to those critical areas I mentioned in camp before I would go out and predict anything like that.
I would think that September 28th game with Ohio State, I think it would be really hard for you to beat them if you lose that, because you're going to go to that head-to-head. You know, but if you win that game, boy, are you in the driver's seat.
Gary Anderson would already have his signature win, and he'd only be a month into the season.
Yeah, that'd be a pretty good way to start it for him, wouldn't it?
Yes, yeah. It would, yeah.
Tommy, we've been asking most of the folks we know the big offseason story, obviously, is Bielema leaving and Anderson coming in. Was there anything else in the offseason that folks outside of the state of Wisconsin may not have heard of that's going to affect the team positively or negatively?
Well, there was just a lot of change, obviously. Seven new assistant coaches, retained two guys off the previous staff. Health-wise, I think they are getting healthy. There was nothing significant that they lost health-wise in the offseason, and they kept a lot of guys out of the spring, more as a precaution than anything else, and I think they're getting healthy, and that should be a good thing. I think they were probably more precautious than they needed to be, but they wanted to be careful in the spring, so they held some guys out, and that was probably smart. So, you know, a couple things. There's you lose a couple players, like I mentioned. Mitchell is probably the biggest departure, the guy that they thought would start in the secondary, and that's going to happen, especially with coaching changes. And, you know, this was a guy being homesick, and that certainly happens. But nothing of a nature that should be crippling or too significant when camp opens.
Jared Abadaris, Chris Borland, James White, those are the three that will be coming to Chicago to represent Wisconsin. Any three of them have an interesting story that we should address while we're there?
Well, Jared Abadaris certainly coming to Wisconsin as a walk-on. I was initially going to be a track guy. I was going to walk onto the track team and had a strong performance at a high school all-star game, and that kind of pushed Wisconsin's hand to extend a preferred walk-on for football. And then, you know, last year with the numbers he had, could have been so much better. He had three different quarterbacks throwing him in the ball. I mean, this guy's just got an uncanny ability to get open deep, and I think he just continues to surprise people with his speed and ability to do that. You know, James White's a good story, you know, kind of overshadowed behind Monte Ball the last couple of years. But if you look at his numbers, they're almost as good as anybody returning career numbers rushing-wise in Wisconsin. And then Borland is just a physical freak who's, had a great career, just an extremely productive guy and a big play threat. And it's going to be really interesting to see how they utilize him in this new defense, because they want to get after the quarterback. You know, Wisconsin's defense in past years has been pretty basic, and that's going to be totally different now. They're going to go after the quarterback and try to make big plays, and Borland should be in the middle of all of it.
And Barry Alvarez, everything's good in Barryland?
Yeah, Barry got a knee replacement, got the other one done. He had one done in the 99 season, which was my first year on the beat, and got the other one done. I think he's feeling a lot better now than he did a couple months ago. Lost another assistant athletic director. I know you guys got one of his proteges down there in Nebraska. He lost another one, but that's a sign that apparently as an AD he's been as successful as a coach, because his guys keep going on and getting good jobs elsewhere.
Well,
one thing about Barry, if Ron Dane was playing, but he had that knee replacement, so if he's got another knee replacement, and he's got like Ron Dane's brother coming in, this could be dangerous for the Big Ten.
No, Ron Dane's on the roster right now, but his kids are starting to make some noise here in the area as high school athletes, including a daughter who's a really nice a soccer player and basketball player who will be a sophomore this year.
Well, we're recruiting her right now.
Well, Tom, we'll let you get back to work and hopefully get to run into you in Chicago. Thanks for updating us on the Badgers, and we made it through the whole interview without bringing up last year's championship game.
Sounds good, guys. We'll see you in Chicago.
Take care. Tommy Mulhern joining us from the Wisconsin State Journal, our 12 teams in 12 days. God, that was an ass-kicking in Indianapolis, wasn't it?
Well, amazing. I mean, if you look at their scores, I mean, they're playing Oregon State, final score, Oregon State 10, Wisconsin 7.
Well, they were just so out. But remember last year, Wisconsin made coaching changes during the season. And that was after beating Northern Iowa. At the time, nobody really maybe knew how good they were. Oregon State lose to them. They should have lost to Utah State, where Gary Anderson was. They should have lost to them and won by two. And then had the lead against Nebraska and let that get away. And then they kind of put some things together against the weaklings, Illinois, Purdue, Minnesota. And then overtime loss to Michigan State, Ohio State, and Penn State, and there you go. But then they came out of their shell and just destroyed Nebraska in the Big Ten championship game.
They sure did. The only enjoyment I had that whole game was when, I don't know who it was, but one of our players went for like a 90-yard touchdown run and ran about 240 yards. I can't remember what his name was, but one of the best runs of all time, and he just kind of goes unnoticed when you get beat 70-31.
God, I hope he's quarterbacking again this year. We'll take a break on the Doug and Daddy Show here in the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. We'll be back with the Chancellor at UNK, Doug Christensen, after this.
When you need comfort and guidance the most, it's reassuring to know our family at Horner, Liskey, McBride, and Kuhl Funeral and Cremation Services is at hand. With our experience, compassionate care, and trusted facility, we are available to serve your family in any way possible. If you are in need of a helping hand, contact Horner, Liskey, McBride, and Kuhl Funeral and Cremation Services in Kearney at 237-2259, where our family is dedicated to honoring your family for generations.
Jay Farner here with Quicken Loans. Here are two simple words that should make you reconsider waiting to buy a home. Buying power. Let's say you can afford a monthly mortgage payment, including principal and interest, of around $1,350. With today's rate on a 30-year fixed mortgage of 4.5%, APR 4.53%, that payment could support a $265,000 mortgage. But if you wait and rates tick up to around 6%, that same $1,350 mortgage payment, including principal and interest, may only be able to support a $215,000 mortgage. That's $50,000 worth of home that you're missing out on by waiting. That's buying power. And for 3 years in a row now, J.D. Power & Associates has ranked Quicken Loans highest in the nation in customer satisfaction for primary mortgage origination. Give Quicken Loans a call today at 800-QUICKEN or go to quickenloans.com and maximize your buying power.
For J.D. Power & Associates award information, visit jdpower.com. Payment example excludes taxes and insurance. Calls for cost information. Equal housing lender license in all 50 states and...
There we were, me and my buddies at our favorite hangout, Cunningham's Journal. This time, we're sitting out in the courtyard, which is pretty cool. It's like you're sitting out in the tropics, got the palm trees, beachy scene, bunch of TVs to watch sports, and of course, live entertainment every week. When all of a sudden, I had an urge to get a frozen margarita. Of course, my friends just laughed. If you're looking for a good place to hang out this summer, eat good food, or even have a margarita, Cunningham's Journal in the courtyard is the place to be in downtown Kearney.
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney.
Farm Bureau agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers in Kearney, no health insurance. As independent and authorized producers of Blue Cross Blue Shield of Nebraska, independent licensees of the Blue Cross Blue Shield Association, Rich Peters and Matt Myers will work with you to make sure you have health insurance coverage that fits your needs. Their approach is simple. They listen. And will tailor a policy that'll work within your budget. When you need health insurance, just call Rich Peters and Matt Myers, your local Farm Bureau agents. Securities and services offered through FBL Marketing Services, LLC. Affiliate, Farm Bureau Financial Services.
Scattered showers and thunderstorms today with some breaks of sunshine possible at times. Highs in the mid to low 90s. Tonight, a few showers and storms linger early on, then becoming mostly clear as we head back to a low of 71. Right now, 84.
Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Doug Duda, Jim Langan with you in the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Midway Chevrolet Buick Cadillac and Midway Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram. Glad to have you with them as they get ready for the Buffalo County Fair going on this week. And at Midway, they've got a lot of things that are going on. And we'll tell you that you can still like them on Facebook and get signed up to win those Husker season tickets. The giveaway goes all the way through August the 25th. Their summer clearance event goes through the end of the month. With that, customers not only receive rebates and the Midway discount, but an additional discount from the manufacturer as well as the $500 Visa card to be used anywhere in their summer promotion. And folks, you can find it all at your Midway Auto dealer. Midway Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Midway Chevrolet Buick Cadillac. You can visit them on South 2nd Avenue in Kearney, and the complete inventory is there at thinkmidway.com. Midway, it's a better way. Well, as we know, folks, the University of Nebraska at Kearney is looking for a new athletic director after John McBride announced back in May that he was going to be stepping down to take care of himself. And we are pleased to welcome back to the Doug and Daddy Show Chancellor Doug Christensen, as the field has been whittled down to four. And actually, one of those four is on campus today, and we'll talk about that here in just a little bit. But, Chancellor, good morning. Thanks for the time.
You're very welcome. Exciting times here at UNK, and
you know, particularly when we can talk about athletics, so that's always good.
Well, let's start with just some of the general parameters here, Doug. Can you give us a ballpark figure of how many people, how many applicants you had to go through, and was four kind of the number you were looking to whittle it down to, or did that change as the process went along?
It changed as the process went along a little bit. Total number of applicants, I don't have that number. I think it was in excess of 25. The way that the process worked is people filed an application, and that went to our search committee. The search committee went through and sorted through the various ones, and clearly there were some people who, although maybe very good people, just really, you know, apply for every job that comes along, and so those were easy to sort out. There were others who have got good athletic experience or had other administrative experience that I think would be good candidates. And that's where the tough job of our search committee came in. They whittled down to, you know, I think somewhere in the neighborhood of 7 or 8 people. They did some further evaluation of those, and 4 people, I had given them a charge saying, look, I'd like somewhere between 3 and 6 people to campus. It's anything less than 3 is a little hard to deal with, because if somebody backs out, then you're down to 2, and if you have more than 6, it's just a zoo, and it's hard to schedule. You're asking a lot for people's times on interviews, and so the committee, I think, settled on 4. And these 4, I think, are clearly the best qualified candidates. I understand from Scott Unruh, who's the chair of our committee, that there was a deep pool. But that group of people who were the next from the 4 to probably a dozen in that area, very qualified people. And, you know, then it was a matter of taking the best of the best and looking for some of the attributes that we want to use for hiring, and that would be some athletic administrative experience, running a program of this size or complexity, and you know, then looking at some of the priorities we have. Clearly, fundraising is part of that. Clearly, budget management is part of that. Evaluation of talent of coaches, and I think an overall Division II attitude about putting student-athletes first. And I think those were the things that the search committee did. And then they've given me these 4, and now we're going to take it forward. And as you said, Rick Gobe, he's on campus today.
We're talking with UNK Chancellor Doug Christensen here on the Doug and Daddy Show with the 4 finalists for UNK. We're not going to break those down individually, because that's what the process is for in the final interview. But, Doug, it is pretty diverse. You've got Gene Berger, who's with the Division I program and has been at a variety of different spots, even Wayne State. You've got Mary Ellen Gillespie, who's at Bowling Green, has been at Iowa, been at Purdue. Then, as you said, we've got Rick Gobe on campus today, who's been a coach, actually, and then was in Division II at Alaska Fairbanks and Bemidji. And then you've got Division III with Paul Plinsky. You kind of answered my question about, does it matter where these guys have been? It looks like all of them have been at a spot where they could handle a program the size of UNK. But I guess, does it matter where they've been?
Well, I think it matters what they've done. We all have a history in terms of institutions. But, you know, for example, Wisconsin Whitewater, where Mr. Plinsky's been from, even though that's a Division III school, Wisconsin Whitewater looks a whole lot like UNK. When you go up there academically to look at it, that program has had a lot of success in Division III, and Mr. Plinsky's been there. Bemidji State, we see Bemidji State a lot athletically. They're up in the Northern Sun. In terms of Bowling Green, you know, I think the experience there for Ms. Gillespie has certainly been development, major gifts, big gifts, and her ability to have some experience, kind of like what John McBride had, external relations, when he was down in Florida. And then, of course, Gene Berger, she's been at Drake. and Wayne State, and Northern Iowa. Northern Iowan's one of our peers in our Board of Regents peer group. So it's an institution, although much larger than we are, has similar academic missions, and we're familiar with. So I'm comfortable they've come kind of from the Midwest, and I think there's a huge difference of athletic programs from the East Coast or the West Coast than in the Midwest. And I think there's a homogeneous theme of all four candidates that they really have got good Midwestern experience. When you go back East, particularly Division II athletics, it's a different operation back there. And
yeah.
So this group, I think, has real good experience. And as far as I'm concerned, everybody's got a clean sheet of paper right now. You know, we've whittled through their paper backgrounds. It's going to depend now on who they are, how they come across, how they can sell a vision and a mission for this campus, and I think that's what will make the day for them.
Doug, as you take a look at this, there's going to be the obvious question in the community that none of the four finalists have any ties to the University of Nebraska at Kearney. That question was brought up the day that the press conference was there, and John said he was stepping aside. And I'm trying to think back that there wasn't necessarily any of the really past ADs, even though Dick Buechner was, you know, knowledgeable about what was going on here, about what a local tie would have. What would you say to the folks that there is nobody locally in the finalist list?
Well, I think it does not speak to the quality of the people locally. Clearly, there's excellent people here who know this program very, very well. And, you know, I think what it talks about is how deep a field we really had. That this group, all of them have had major athletic administrative experience, and that's the job that we're trying to hire here. And it's being an athletic director is not an easy job. And as you look back at our last four athletic directors have all kind of come from the outside as well with some administrative experience that they've had and brought with them. That's sort of the model I think we see a lot of institutions, and Kearney included, to do that. But there's some really good local people who are excellent at what they do, and you know, when they stack up in this pool, probably didn't have the same administrative experience that the rest had, and that's probably the dividing line.
Just a couple of questions left here with UNK Chancellor Doug Christensen, because today the first of the four finalists, Dr. Rick Gobe, is on campus, who had spent the last 12 years at Bemidji State. I think folks will be curious, how did you put the committee together? How many are on the committee, and how strong is their say, or is it going to come down to you, the chancellor, to make the call?
Well, at the end of the day, it's going to be my call. I'm going to be the hiring officer. And the committee, I think, let's see here, we had, six or seven on the committee. Coach Cheney from the women's basketball team, Tracy Langer from the foundation, Brian Maher, our Kearney Public School Superintendent, Neil Schnorr, who's my senior advisor, Jane Sheldon, who's a vice chancellor for business and finance, and Lisa Sokolowski, who's a parent of two of our UNK student-athletes,
yeah.
Very active in the community. They have a nice broad range of experience, and what I asked that group to do was to use their judgment to evaluate people. So they had that discussion about, qualified. Did they have administrative experiences? What sort of experiences would we need for this position? And you'll see they're not all four the same. They all four didn't come from the same type of background, and I think that's good for us. Gives us a little diversity of background, and so when we go to interview these people, all four will come from a little different perspective, and we'll see how that fits. After we interview all four, I'm going to ask for input from people. I want pros and cons on each candidate as they see them. Some will come from, the coaches are going to get a chance to interview these people, the staff, the campus community will have a media portion of this. We're going to have a community portion that's going to occur. And I'm going to take all that input and I'm also going to probably spend 2 to 3 hours with each candidate as they come through and take a look at them. And the search committee, they're going to develop for me, because they know these candidates the best right now. They're going to develop a list of pros and cons and pluses and minuses for each candidate, and they'll submit that to me shortly after we get all these interviews done, and I'll make the final call.
All right, Doug, I've got one last question, and again, I don't know how you will want to address this, but you talked about it, and the feeling is you've got to have whoever is hired has to have a pretty good background in raising finances with this move to the MIAA. Rick Gobe, who's on campus today, reportedly was let go at Bemidji State after doing an outstanding job building the program, getting the hockey going. But the main reason, they said, was from fundraising. One of the four candidates that you have on the list, one of the finalists, is directly involved in that. What would you say to the public that's already reading something into that?
Well, I think that we look at, for an athletic director, fundraising, we're not hiring a development officer. We're hiring an athletic director. One of the aspects of being an athletic director is, can you build relationships? Relationships are crucial for donors and so on. But of probably even greater need is somebody who can manage a budget, someone who can build a program, someone who can keep us, high in Division II in terms of our academic programs here, and someone who fits into the campus. And so, is fundraising important? Yes, it's certainly a factor, but it is not the crucial deciding factor. Fundraising for the university athletic programs, as with our academic programs, rests with our foundation. And this is not a development job. So I don't think the public ought to read a whole lot into any one key or one advantage any candidate has. If any of these four are selected, I think they'll do a fine job. Our goal is to find the best one.
Well, again, folks, a community forum open to the public for the first finalist, Dr. Rick Gobe, is tonight, 5 o'clock at the UNK Alumni House. If you would like to stop by, and all four candidates are going to be invited on campus and be treated similarly, and everybody will get a chance to meet him. And I know, Doug, you guys want to get hired somebody as soon as you can, especially before the season gets started. And been a long interview here, so we'll let you get back to work. And we sure appreciate your time and your candor here as we move forward in this process.
No problem. Appreciate the help.
You bet, Doug. Doug Christensen, Chancellor at the University of Nebraska at Kearney, and the process continues today, Jimmy. He's glad that they've got Midwestern roots to all of them.
Well, he said, there's four candidates, and I agree with him on one thing, that you don't want to bring two people in, and then one of them backs out, or three people, and then you're down to two. So he did that. I've heard a little bit, Tim Higgins from Grand Island, a real good friend of mine, his brother, Kelly Higgins, was at Alaska Anchorage and hired the guy we're going to meet today. He had a lot of positive things to say about him. I don't know anything about the other candidates at all, just what, I've read in the paper and that situation. I was kind of surprised a little bit that, a lot of people that I know in the late 70s and 80s, when Kearney State was winning and all these programs were at a good high level of competing and winning a lot and things were going extremely well, at that time, we're kind of hoping that I think that they got somebody that had those ties, that had that Kearney State tie, or at least knew a little bit about that program. And that's something where it doesn't look like we have a choice now on those four. Any of these four might be a great candidate. Here I am making comments about people, and hey, that might be the best candidate. They had a big search committee, and it seems to be that's kind of the way it goes sometimes in some of these jobs like this at this level. In some of the bigger levels, at the NCAA, real high level, people contact them and say, hey, would you be interested in coming to Miami of Florida? Would you be interested? We need a football coach at Ohio State, or we're looking for a manager for the New York Yankees. You don't sit back and go, okay, we need 25 applicants and you guys all apply. No, the New York Yankees go find somebody that they want. There's no application. You contact them, fly them, you pay their family for everything and get this. So there's a little difference when you're at UNK, and I don't know the specifics. I was a principal at Sumner, Eddyville Miller. I know how it was done there. And all I do know, though I did have a lot of people that, because I'm on this show, contact me and say, hey, why don't you say this? Why don't you say that? You say this. I want you to say that. And I had more people ask me to do things on the AD job than anything we've done in 1 year. They wanted me to ask questions about this, and I've kind of stayed neutral and stayed out of it. This is the first time I've really talked about it.
Well, and your connection, I mean, your connection and your friends, I mean, this is the number one spot. This is it. This is UNK. People expect maybe you to have, not just you, but I mean, certain people to have influence over this. And I think this is the two-sided coin. You've got the people that want it to be the way it's always been and the way it used to be. And boy, what does that sound like just 2 hours down the road to the east? Or you need to move forward and get with the times. So what you need is you got to find the perfect person that's in the middle. You've got to find somebody that can embrace the tradition and the loyalty that has been given to UNK for so many years, but somebody that can also see the future and the changes that need to be made. And that's what this whole hiring process, whatever, if it's at UNK or Hastings College or when they hire Shion Eichhorst at Nebraska, you got to find the right person. And there's never a guarantee. Even when you hire them, you can only hire the best.
You know, it's kind of interesting. And people sometimes, if somebody tells them something, they believe it. I mean, and I'll tell you what, I think we understand when they talked about, hey, joining the new conference from the RMAC, and that might not be a choice. You know, the RMAC may have been in a situation where we had to leave the RMAC and we had to go to this other conference. But to tell me that it's going to be, that the players are going to miss less school or these road trips are going to be shorter. Now, I've driven from Kearney to Denver, and I know how long it takes. And I've driven from Kearney to Kansas City, and I know how long it takes. So you don't have to tell me that one way's quicker or the other. This is a wash. We're going to miss just as much school. The times that they play their basketball games or this, you know, it's going to be about the same amount of time. It's not going to be that you're playing in the G-Pack where you're really going to save a lot of mileage. I mean, so, you know, those things when you say, Jay, I'm not going to listen to that and believe that story. You know, that's something I'm just not – that's what I was told, but I'm not going to believe that story. So, you know, the truth is very important to me. And with this UNKAD search – that's happened. I have no problem with that. But, you know, we have people that were in-house that were applying for that job. And if they weren't the best candidates, then that's fine. Then these four people are. Then I'm going to go ahead and go with that. But I'll tell you what, the people want something that's going to make sure that these programs, and we're doing the right thing, and we're getting home games, and we're going to get these, the arenas are going to have a little bit better attendance, and we're going to start getting things, because that's what people want. And perception sometimes is the reality.
And Jimmy, it's just like any other job. If you stay on your job and you got passed over for the so-called, let's just call it a promotion, it's interesting to see how that person reacts when they get the new boss. You know, you were going for that job, they hired somebody else, now you're working for that new person. It'll be interesting to see how that all plays out. We'll see how it all goes. First candidate is on campus today, and if you're interested, you can meet, greet, ask questions 5 o'clock today for Rick Gobe at the UNK Alumni House. Don't forget, we will be in Chicago Wednesday and Thursday. Tomorrow it is our Husker Roundtable. Good news. Sean Callahan, I think, is going to be a father by this time tomorrow. So we're going to bump him and bring in Robin Washit to be with Mike Babcock and Steve Sipple on our Husker Roundtable tomorrow. So congratulations. Hope everything goes well for Sean. But we're going to be looking good in Chicago because the Gary Michaels Clothiers are the official clothiers of the Doug and Daddy Show. As we've always said, if they can make us look good, they can make anybody look good.
Well, can I get an outfit there? Is that correct?
Yeah,
being
sure.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Hey, I would like a gift certificate. I'll go down there today and pick something out. I got some time.
Got you taken care of.
All right, good deal.
Big Ten Media Day's coverage brought to you by Gary's Michaels Clothier. Stop into Gary Michaels today to beat the summer heat during their summer sale. Now through the end of July, you can get 25% off all summer sportswear for guys and gals, including Tommy Bahama, Forsyth, and Cutter and Buck. For the career guys, 25% off all summer suits and sports coats. But the sale ends July 31st, so head over to Gary Michaels Clothiers today. They're open late Thursday, Saturday till 4, and what a helpful bunch of staff they have there. The ladies take care of us, and they'll take care of you. You go in, like we said, I don't know what goes together. They take care of you. That's the best. Gary Michaels. We're back after this to wrap things up on the Doug and Daddy Show.
The following sponsors are proud to support the area youth involved in all the area county fair and 4-H and livestock auctions. Trampy Ag, Kappa Grains, Zorb Farms, Exchange Bank of Minden, Loprino Foods of Ravenna, Terry and Jason Stark of New Tech Seed, Ravenna Sanitation, RAI of Nebraska, Exchange Bank in Minden, Stadler Implement in Minden, and Clevenger Farm Products. Good luck to each and every one of you. Taking time out of your summer to be part of such a great program is a blue ribbon in itself.
Hey, new kid. Ever have that dream where nothing works? Orders are backed up, production lines not producing, management screaming, no solution in sight? Not me. Why? Grainger. Grainger's got everything we need. In a book, an app, a website, hundreds of branches. Knowing a solution is on its way soothes me to sleep at night. I love the Grainger catalog in all its forms. Get it? Got it? Good. Call, click Grainger.com, or stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Twitter user Casey Jackson tweeted, "Oh, it's cool. It's not like I had plans or anything. Hashtag stupid car." Casey, we sense your sarcasm, but it's the Honda Summer Clearance Event. Come check out the Civic. It's the best-selling small car in America, and it's loaded with standard features. But who wants a great deal on a great car? You, from what it sounds like.
Well-qualified buyers can get 0.9% APR financing at the Honda Summer Clearance Event, happening now.
Based on Polk U.S. new retail registrations in the small car segment for January 2008 through March 2013. See dealer for financing.
Hi, this is Jeremy from HK Sports Bar and Grill. Or you can call it Hastings Kino, you can call it plain Kino. My point is this, we aren't just your daddy's Kino parlor anymore. We're a new restaurant. I mean, the building's in the same place, but it's a new restaurant. The faces are different, the menu is different, atmosphere is different, everything's different. It is a new restaurant. If you haven't been here lately, you haven't been here.
Come on in, let the games begin.
Round up your team for the annual Coors Miller four-person golf scramble, August 3rd and 4th at the Kearney Country Club. Your entry fee gets you golf on Saturday and Sunday, carts, steak dinner, Calcutta, complimentary drinks, and more. There's also a Friday night shootout and practice round available. Shotguns start on Saturday at 8 or 1:30, so register for your tee time today with the final Sunday at 10 a.m. It's the annual four-person Coors Miller golf scramble, Saturday, August 3rd, Sunday, August 4th at the Kearney Country Club.
Scattered showers and thunderstorms today with some breaks of sunshine possible at times, highs in the mid to low 90s. Tonight, a few showers and storms linger early on, then becoming mostly clear as we head back to a low of 71. Right now, 84.
Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Doug Duda, Jim Langan, wrapping up a Monday edition of the Doug and Daddy Show. Hey, folks, TNL Irrigation is there for you. Warm it up. You have the TNL in your field. You see the crops have really sprouted up here over the last few weeks. It looks like maybe Mother Nature's going to give you a break here, and you might not have to have the old TNL irrigation on all week long. But the one thing is, when you do have it on, you have it on. It's not starting and stopping. It's not breaking down. It's hydrostatically powered, and it has continuous movement, allowing even water distribution and less waste. All you have to do is drive down the road and look at the field, or you can get that great look from above, the GPS. They'll take care of you. Your TNL dealer will show you. There's no spoking when it comes to their irrigation systems. It takes care of your entire field. TNL Irrigation Systems. Visit your local TNL dealer or online at TLIRR.com. Proven technology that works and is easier on you for a lifetime. Published report now says, Jimmy, that Ohio State coach Urban Meyer has kicked Carlos Hyde off the team. Their leading rusher, he is accused of allegedly assaulting a female over the weekend in Columbus. In a separate incident, starting corner Bradley Roby is being investigated over another assault in Indiana. The Columbus Dispatch is reporting that Hyde was named as a person of interest in a weekend assault against a female in a downtown Columbus bar. So there's your story going into Big Ten Media Days that everybody will be trying to get an answer from Urban Meyer about. Denver Broncos Pro Bowl linebacker Von Miller facing a 4-game suspension for violating the NFL's substance abuse policy, according to multiple sources. So that's not good for Denver Bronco fans, which are all over the place.
Yeah, the Denver Broncos. I mean, in Vegas right now, with Denver, I think, is one of the you know, for the Super Bowl is the shortest team, shortest price. You know, if you go up there and you're trying to bet somebody, the Denver Broncos, in some of the casinos are the shortest price to win it. So, you know, there's going to be a lot of hype for Denver. Of course, they almost beat Baltimore, didn't they, in that first-round playoff game? You picked Baltimore, though, to win the Super Bowl, didn't you, last year?
I can't remember.
Okay.
I can't remember. Coaches Association All-Star Games tonight in Lincoln. Kearney Little Leaguers, they're headed to Indianapolis for the Midwest Regional. State Baseball, Cozad plays an elimination game against Albion this afternoon at 2 o'clock in Elkhorn. The Class C Juniors are at Wakefield. It will be Geneva and Palmer Wallback Greeley, an elimination game at 5:30. Shelton Gibbon is still in the winner's bracket. The winner's bracket final against Louisville tonight is at 8 o'clock. A7 Juniors at Memorial Field, North Platte and Hastings play tonight. The winner gets Kearney Post 52 in the final tomorrow. Kearney Runza has qualified for state. They'll play in the A7 senior final tonight against the hosts out at Scotts Bluff Garing. For the A6 juniors at South Sioux City, Grand Island 5 Points plays Columbus tonight at 6. Grand Island Tom Dinsdale is also still alive in that tournament. As far as the A6 seniors, Grand Island Home Federal plays Columbus tonight in an elimination game. Action continues in the B and C area tournaments as we're getting down to the final few teams getting ready for their senior tournaments this weekend. And again, congratulations to Riley Reinertsen. We've talked about him all last week. He finished in a tie for fourth at the Callaway Junior World Golf Championships going on out at Torrey Pines in California. And Jimmy, I said it over the weekend a little bit. I can't remember another Nebraska golfer ever on this big of a stage doing this well. And Riley Reinertsen, at a little given Nebraska, has just a great week.
Yeah, he did. That is a tremendous accomplishment to finish fourth. Hey, Doug, you had that information, I think, in front of me. Do you know how close was he to winning it? How many strokes was he back?
Let me pull that back up here.
Congratulations to Runs to Two to qualifying for state and Brad Archer. Boy, he's done a great job with that team this year, and they played a couple really good games there back-to-back to qualify.
Putting some runs up. The winner at the World Junior Championships, Jose Mendez, was the leader the whole way, finished at 5-under, second place 3-under, third place 2-under, and then Reinertsen was in a three-way tie at 1-over in fourth place.
Got it. Okay. You bet.
So there you go. Congratulations again. Tomorrow on the Doug and Daddy Show, we will give you Troutman's Tuesday trivia. We will update you on what's going on in the Legion baseball tournaments around the area. And the majority of our show tomorrow, of course, will be our Husker Roundtable with Mike Babcock of Hale Varsity. We'll be talking with Robin Washett. He'll be pinch hitting for Sean Callahan from Husker Online and Steve Sipple from the Lincoln Journal Star. That'll be our show. Then Mike Will and myself will be in Chicago for Big Ten Media Days, special lengthened shows from Wednesday and Thursday with a whole lot more interviews to bring back over the next few days as we continue on with football, because it'll be August 1st before we know it. Fan Day in Lincoln is August 2nd. The first day of practice is August 3rd. We want to thank the Chancellor at UNK, Doug Christensen, Tom Mulhern from the Wisconsin State Journal, and former Holdridge coach Trent Benjamin for joining us on the show today. Jimmy, I know, like you, I also want to end the show. Obviously, it's a somber note for us, but I know the entire community of Kearney is thinking of the Roseberry family today, and a tragic situation happened to them over the weekend. And their son, their oldest son, Ty, was at the baseball game, and of course, he is on Chris's team, and he took a big shot in the arm last night, Chris did. But our thoughts with the Roseberry family during this very difficult time, and I guess that's all you can say. Our thoughts and prayers are with them.
Yeah, I'm really going to miss that boy. Thanks, Doug, for bringing that up.
Folks, we'll see you tomorrow on the Doug and Daddy Show.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.